How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. It's 7:15 here. It's Friday. You made it. The weekend is here. Not a promising weather weekend, unfortunately, but we are at the toward the tail end of October. So fairly typical. It's kind of showery right now. It's going to be cloudy and cool today. We may see a little bit of sun tomorrow, but only 9 degrees for the high tomorrow. Same deal for Sunday. There is some okay-looking weather for next week, by the way. We'll keep our eye on that. We got lots to get to, including TSN's Dave Poulin was in Montreal to watch the Habs lose again last night, this time to Carolina of all teams, and of course, Scott Kinnami. He knew that he was going to score last night. Yeah, first goal of the season, he gets a goal. So it is not good in Montreal right now. We'll talk to Dave Poulin about all of that, and when he joins us after 8, he'll give us his thoughts on the Sens as well as they fall to San Jose by a score of 2-1. Later on this morning, we'll also bring you kind of a new feature that we're debuting here on TSN 1200. Every Monday, Dean Brown is going to be sitting down with a member of the Sens organization and kind of going a little bit, peeling back the curtain a little bit. Not so much on the here and now, but more on a bigger picture stuff, starting this week with Sens head coach DJ Smith. So all that for you coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. By the way, Dean's scheduled to sit down with general manager Pierre Dorion this coming Monday. So we'll have that for you next week. You can find that audio and everything that we do here at TSN 1200 on our website at tsn1200.ca. How'd you guys do, by the way, on your picks last night? Were you on the hometown Brownies, or did you go for the 2 points in the Broncos last night?
You know what? I have no idea, Jer. I made my picks. No, I don't. I'll have to actually go in and check now that you just said it. I watched the game, and I think I was cheering for Case Keenum for some reason. The Broncos, outside of Von Miller, have become the most anonymous team in the history. Although I did like the fact... Oh, no. And the reason I also liked the Browns yesterday, I liked the fact that their running back was working on a fishing boat as of a month ago.
Yes.
And is now having a hell of a game. I love those stories. Like, you're not like you're in some league. I mean, he's just there, just working the fish, catching the fish just right out of Forrest Gump. And, hey, just like Gump got the call, I mean, he got the call, and he's in there last night running up and down the field.
I definitely had no faith in Case Keenum and trying to get the 2 points for the road Broncos. And, of course, that did not work. Dang, Browns.
17-14 is the final. Browns win it over the Broncos. Yeah. All right. If you missed it, you only missed 1 point. You're not too far behind. Get your picks in on our website at tsn1200.ca. All right, let's get to some wrenches before we get to last night's Sens game on this wrench-throwing Friday. If you're new to the show, you don't know about wrench-throwing Friday, pretty simple. Think of the acronym WTF. Normally, if you write WTF, you're thinking about something, which is not good. All right, that's what wrench-throwing Friday is, something feeling not good. We toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. For instance, here we go. From Jason, a wrench to it being dark all the time at this time of year. That's from Jason.
Is it a reasonable substitution or...
All right, so we're going to the vote now.
Sebastian, I'm throwing a wrench at the Montreal Canadiens. They've ruined my week. That's from Sebastian.
Can't talk. I'm drunk.
Good morning, fellas. It's Ryan the Custodian. Can I throw a wrench at Eugene Melnyk, Pierre Dorion, and the Sens brass for not making Brady Tkachuk captain yet? That's Ryan.
You know, right now, we're kind of in the dumpster.
Good morning, radio guys. Can I throw a wrench at Horseradish for thinking it belongs in a Caesar? That's from Schwab in the pothole.
A Stantonian home run. What did I do wrong? He's at first base.
We would all agree on horseradish, though, with a nice prime rib is an absolute must, right?
Yes, hey? Sir.
That's another veggie. Again, like celery, that was a discussion point in the first hour. A little bit of salt on that. Yeah. Just raw. Eat it up. Yum, yum.
Yeah. No, little horseradish.
Yeah,
on
that's
the side.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I went yum, yeah. yum.
You need some din din for your horse with your horseradish?
And also, Hammer, I think we should start a trend here that anytime the forecast is bad, that wrenches come to JR. So a wrench to JR for bringing bad weather.
Is that the plate? 3-2 count.
Now the 1-2 pitch.
1-2.
Where did you find that gem?
I've got a whole bunch of
them. You have a treasure trove of JRs.
He just
monitors all 4 hours and just pushes record or
sometimes,
whatever.
I have about maybe 11
Sometimes my brain breaks on purpose just to give you guys some stuff to laugh about.
And that doesn't even include SETI. So I'm not even including the SETI wrench, which has been retired. So please do not request it.
Why did you retire SETI already?
Well, because I just think it's piling on. I think it's a little much.
You piling on? Please.
No, the listener piling on.
Broad shoulders. I take it from everybody.
I'm sticking up for you.
I make one mistake a week.
I've had enough of it.
I'm not like you guys. I don't mind owning up to the fact that I make one mistake a week. Okay?
Just don't request it. I'm not playing it.
Mike and Peterborough, massive wrench to all the fans of the game last night for booing Erik Karlsson. Mike and Peterborough.
First and 10 of the Hamilton 28. Whoa. It is picked off.
There were some. I saw people now. Hammer, you were at the game.
Yeah.
You get a quizzical look there. Like, what, you didn't hear it? I heard it through my television machine.
Yeah. No. It was a little bit harder to pick up. But I was wondering, because I saw it from Mark Mathod on his Twitter, like, why are they booing?
There's a bad vibe, though, guys. It was some people. Like I said to you, it's not normal when a guy's won a couple Norris trophies and he's traded away. I don't expect him to get a standing ovation every time he rolls back into town. But
to get booed?
But I
figured you're kind of done and over with it, and now there's no reaction.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I'm just saying, from the, you know, by the time the trade was made, I don't want to use the term, JR, sense of relief, but it was like, okay, ready to move on from that. And also, I didn't end up watching it, but a lot of people were fired up with his between periods interview as well.
Yes, we do have a copy of that. This was Erik Karlsson after the, I think it was the second period interview on TSN last night.
Erik, congratulations on your first point against your old team. I wonder if coming back to Ottawa is kind of more business as usual now as opposed to what it was in the past.
Well, we haven't got the points yet, Gord, so it's not congratulations yet. But
well, you got a point, though.
Yeah, that don't mean though. We know that.
That's Karlsson, man. Direct and to the point.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
I don't get that either.
Well, listen, on live television, he is a veteran enough to know that he shouldn't be dropping that.
Yeah, you don't need to drop it.
But he knows exactly what he's doing, right? I mean, that's not one of those emotional moments like post-World Junior that became famous in the 80s, JR, where the guy's swearing right on the air. I mean, hey, he knew what he was doing for whatever reason. But, yeah, it's not. Like I said, it's a really interesting dynamic. I don't sense the warm and fuzz. I don't expect him to be Alfie JR. I'm just saying, it was almost like Jason Spezza. Things settled down for him, and now he's part of the Leafs is a little different. But yeah, there's something kind of swirls around Karlsson that gives people, and I think that really realistically, people focus on the couple of Norris trophies. But there was a lot of bad body language on the ice when he played here, and there were certainly moments in handling the media and other things where he was exactly like he was last night.
He's certainly got his back up when he was asked about, his play perhaps dropping off a little bit when he was when he got into that part of it, and he goes, essentially saying, I don't feel like my play's dropped off at all.
Yeah. So. Interesting when he also last year brought up the fact that he didn't sign up for a rebuild, and I said at the time, hey, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the, what's going to solve all this. And I think his play is stabilized, but also in the broadcast yesterday, I don't know if he throws this out there just to get people fired up, but still thinks he's one of the best players on the planet. I mean, I don't think he's in the top 25 defensemen in the National Hockey League right now, but still an adequate player, just not worth the price tag.
I think he's better than adequate. Yeah, if Erik Karlsson wasn't paid $11.5 million and he wasn't the best player or perhaps at least defenseman, excuse me, on the planet 5 years ago, if you just were to, land in the here and now and watch him play, you'd go, that's still a pretty, pretty good hockey player.
Yeah, no, I would.
So you're comparing him to his peak.
Yeah,
that's all.
You're right. But you use the term pretty good. No, he's good. He's smart. He's efficient. He skates decently, but he's an undersized defender. But hey, yeah, I know. I'm just
with
saying.
With the puck on his stick, and the other thing is the smarts, right? I mean, he made a little poke check at the blue line last night. I remember who he took the puck from.
Stützle.
Yeah, and went in and set up a really good opportunity. Yeah, like, that was a veteran play of, I still know what I'm doing around here. So.
Oh, no, that hockey sense is, it's amongst the best of all time.
And his average ice time is way down, too, so hopefully that will make him effective, more of an effective player as well.
That's surprising. He played 20 minutes last night. Brent Burns was 25 minutes. And this goes back to last year as well. I think Bob Bugner has come to the realization of, the less I play Erik Karlsson is actually the better for Erik Karlsson.
Well, again, goes back to JR. He's not a big guy. And when you become a one-speed hockey player like he was last year, first of all, you get hammered as far as taking contact, and you can't do much. And you realize, hey, how am I going to get the best out of Erik Karlsson? That's exactly that. And as I say, that's, you know, as you point out, that doesn't equate to what he's making, but, you know, still makes him a nice NHL player.
Yeah. Speaking of massive ice time, we might as well just jump over to Thomas Chabot last night, who had a 3-minute shift in the third period. And then at the end of the game, played the final 4 minutes of the game as the Sens were pushing for the game tying goal. 4 straight minutes. Now, I think there was one whistle, I believe, and the Sens took a timeout with about a minute or so to go for him to catch a little bit of his breath. But that's as much as anything speaks to the fact that right now, and Jack Capuano runs the defense, I'm assuming he's the guy that decides who goes on and who goes off at all times, that they have zero faith on anybody else on that defense being able to produce any offense whatsoever. That's what that tells me.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Well,
that's not good. You've said a million times. Yeah. Thomas Chabot playing too much makes him a one-speed hockey player.
Yeah.
And I thought he was terrific last night. He had 5 shots and 14 attempts on net. Like, Thomas Chabot was all over the ice last night. But again, he played almost 30 minutes.
Yeah.
This is the fourth game of the season. Yeah. If you want to talk about running a guy down, we're early in the season and he's playing 30 minutes in a game last night in which no other member of the defense was injured. This was not a, hey, we need to up his ice time. You know, some guy's injured or some guy took a 10-minute misconduct, so everybody's got to fill in. This was a night in which everybody was healthy, everybody was good to go, and he played 30 minutes
last
night.
Yeah, and he looked terrific, JR, but as you just pointed out, that's because it's early in the season. There's no spacing. What does that look like? Christmas time? What would it look like if you ever played in the Olympics? And I watched the shifts, guys, and first of all, I'm going to make a few assumptions that he's an incredibly natural athlete, and when you're a gifted, effortless skater, it helps, but it's still quite amazing to see him, and I'd watch him set up behind the net, and I'm like, guy's barely breathing. Like, it's pretty impressive from an athletic standpoint, but that is second best offensive defenseman on the team is Artem Zub, and then you really get into, yeah, what are you going to do from a defensive standpoint, or offensive, sorry. You don't have a lot to go to, JR, at the end. I mean, it's pretty simple as you roll through the rest of it, that those are your two best guys.
2-1 was the final last night. Sharks beat the Sens, so Chabot had a very, very impressive night, though, overall. So did Tim Stützle, who somehow, some way, 4 games into the season, I'll have to look up his total stat line right now. I can tell you the stat that most counts, which is goals and points. He has 1 assist. I don't know how he doesn't have any goals. He had so many opportunities last night, but he just can't buy one right now. Here's DJ Smith on our post-game show on the play of number 18.
Best player on the ice, probably both teams tonight. You know, he's dangerous. He just got to stay with it. I mean, the dam will break and he'll get a bucket full. So, you know, he was really good in all situations there tonight. He had the puck a ton. He had shots and chances. So, you know, all he can do is just keep staying with it. But, you know, like I said, he was the best player on the ice tonight.
The dam will break and he'll get a bucket full. He had a couple of opportunities. I don't remember if it was on a power play. It was on the same shift in the first period, and he was on the opposite side dot, and he had a couple of opportunities. I saw Chris Stevenson point this out. Now, that was a good one. At least one of them, if not both, could have been one-timers. Mm-hmm. And instead, he took the puck and kind of a little shuffle. And by that, gave Reimer enough time to come across and make the save.
Yeah,
on both of them.
And at the end of the day, JR, at least from the stat I looked up, in 4 games, he's only got 8 shots on goal. I mean, hey, it's pretty simple here. You better get a whole lot more volume. He's had a couple of in-tight chances that are real good, especially against Toronto. But some of those are a little bit of luck. They're kind of chip shots as you're fading away. I want this guy just hammering the puck. I want a lot more opportunities. You got to get a whole lot more selfish, too, because the volume, as we know, from Alexander Ovechkin to any of the great goal scorers, JR, hey, you got to get a groove. And on one-timers, he should just be letting that bad boy rip. CJ's totally right.
Yeah, his first goal, right, in the National Hockey League was, remember that crazy thing that was way up in the air? Which it was a one-timer. It wasn't your typical one-timer. That was against the Leafs, right? In the first or second game of the season.
Hey, yeah,
that was like lob ball.
The way he timed that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That ended up being, by the way, his only goal on home ice all season last year. He only had one home ice goal the entire season, and that was that one.
I don't think they track that as much. Well, they track it, JR, but back in the day when you had the old Philadelphia burn and you had Chicago and Boston, it was a real big deal, right? What were your home stats? Traditionally, the guy that scored a lot at home and not much on the road was, you know, you thought was a shy player, so not a bad stat, but he really does. There's got to be way more, especially on the power play, more of a shooter's mentality. We saw last year that Price goalie beat Carey Price. Remember that? Where he came off
short
the left side.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, off off the left side.
Yeah.
I just want to see a lot more of that. I mean, this guy's got a great snapshot, slap shot. Start getting a lot more than averaging a lot more than two shots a game.
I was going to say, do you consider his shot to be elite or just very good or work in progress?
What I saw last year was elite air, because the combination, the thing that he can do, the one time or not, what he has is a bit of that Pavel Bure jump coming off the boards. And I'm not talking about off the rush necessarily, but set up in the zone on the power play, his first couple of steps are so fast with his release. I think that's what fooled Carey Price. So, yeah, I wouldn't quite go elite, but he's certainly right up there.
You know what? I do want to toss a wrench, and I'm not sure who I want to toss a wrench at. There was a moment late in the first period where the Sens were on a power play. And who was it that got nailed into the boards for the Sens, and the Sharks were going to take a penalty right in the last minute of the game?
So that was Chris Tierney.
Was it Tierney?
No.
Somebody got nailed, though.
Sanford that got nailed.
Was it? Okay.
And
all
it was Tierney who...
Yeah. So San Jose eventually touches the puck. This is in the last minute of the game, last minute of the period. The Sens are going to go on a 5-on-3. And Tierney skates over, and it's Mario Ferraro, right? I think who's the defenseman that that hit him. And sort of from behind kind of mugs him a little bit. And it's one of those, I don't know if he whispers in his ear, hey, don't do that anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
He ends up taking a penalty on that. Now, I'm not sure if I want to throw a wrench at the because there was a... There was a pretty good to-do right after, or a ta-da right after that, in which there's a bunch of guys scrumming. They decided that the only player out of the scrum who should get a penalty was Chris Tierney, who, again, am I throwing it at Tierney for not realizing, hey, man, we got a 5-on-3 coming up here. I can't do anything stupid because the refs are looking to even it up. Yeah. Or do I throw it at the refs? Yeah. For deciding to even it up. Yeah. So one guy gets nailed from behind dangerously. It's no power play for either team because the guy from the other team comes up, skates behind a guy from behind, and puts his arm around his neck from behind and really doesn't do anything. No. And that's considered to be, well, it's six of one, half dozen of another.
Yeah.
Am I going Tierney or am I going officials?
No, we can't throw it at Tierney. He's down 12 pounds, and he's also the leading goal scorer.
And you're friends with his agent.
Exactly.
So that
was a ridiculous call. And this is
wrench to the officials.
I'm going
to
run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
And also, he's the same fella that ran Pinto. So, yeah, no, I mean, that was ridiculous.
Well, he didn't run Pinto. That was a clean hit.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying, hey, back-to-back. I don't even know who this Ferraro guy is, but I don't like him.
He's been around for a while. He plays a lot of minutes.
I know. But
I heard Jamie Baker talk about him, and he remembered him from his days in the minors. And the biggest compliment he mentioned is that as veteran as the Sharks team is, this is a young player that's wearing an A. Like, he's a leader on this team, and he just goes out and plays it from the tips every shift.
So did you guys think that the entire incident, the hit from behind and then the ensuing scrum, that should have come out with each team getting a minor penalty?
Absolutely not, Jer.
No, because you had Brent Burns, too, coming over and mugging on Shabbat.
But you've decided to make a pretty critical call if you're an official. Now it's almost like you're taking it back. It was almost like, oh, my God, I didn't realize that I put him down 5-on-3. Let me get this one back, Jer. That was a terrible call. Should have been the Sens going into there in a 5-on-3, and we know how that can be. So
again, Tierney's a veteran player, though. He's got to know that if he puts himself in a position where the refs are going to try to even it up, they're going to try to even it up. I just didn't think he did. He did something he shouldn't do, but he didn't do enough that he should have been penalized, if that makes any sense. But here's the problem that I have, and I don't want to whine about the officials too much because it works out the same for everybody in the end. I realize that. Is that you end up getting players put in dangerous positions like runs from behind, And the officials want to, they at the end, they want to even it all out. They want a minor misdemeanor of hooking somebody from behind around the head, holding them for a second is considered to be the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
And that's why you get the types of behavior you get with that hit in the first place.
Yeah. Now that you've got the Tkachuk deal done, Jerry, you need to move on to basically auditing the officials. And not only in hockey, I think in all four major sports.
I don't want to do
soccer.
That. I don't want to be a guy who whines about officiating.
And also to that hit, I think it's a penalty, but I'm also in real time. I'm just not a big fan of guys turning the last second either, but it was still should have been a penalty. It still should have been a 5-on-3 for Ottawa.
And it was. And if you think about, again, the swing of that game last night, it's 1-0. There's no guarantee they're going to score, but let's say they would add a fresh sheet ice because it would have been pretty much the start of the second period, a 5-on-3. Let's just say that Ottawa scores, right? It's a 2-0 game. A game might be, given, you know, it was – I don't want to say it was tight checking, but it was a low-scoring game. That might have been the game right there. Yeah. That might have been the difference between a win and loss last night, is that call, no call on the Tierney play in the final period, final minute of the first period. Anyway, it is what it is. 2-1 is the final. Sharks win it. So they move on. By the way, they're playing the Leafs tonight, San Jose is. And for the Sens, they're back at it. Coming up tomorrow afternoon, New York Rangers in town for a 1 p.m. game, an 11 a.m. pregame show here on TSN 1200. Don't look now. The Rangers have won 3 in a row, and Igor Shesterkin is the hottest goalie in the National Hockey League. I don't know if he's going to play tomorrow. Maybe the Sens will get that. They always face the backup goalie thing. And maybe Gorgiev gets the call for the Rangers, but Shesterkin has saved 99 of the last 102 shots that he's faced.
Is that good?
That's, you know, sources say that save percentage is quite good. Thank you very much. All right, more on the game coming up. Sens, by the way, back on the practice ice a little bit later on this morning. And if you saw the Pinto hit last night, you're wondering what's up with him. Nothing structural was the word from DJ Smith. He's sore. We can talk about the fact that he actually came back for another shift, because I think that is a talking point, the decision to put him out there again. But maybe that was the case of, hey, it's nothing structural. Let's see if he can do anything. And he decided after one shift in the second period, in which he ends up as a dash one, that no, I'm done for the night. Anyway, Shane Pinto looks like it'll be nothing too substantial as far as the injury goes. All right, thoughts on any of that in the game last night, etc. Always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200 as we roll on here for a Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. 7:42. We'll hear from Brady Tkachuk in just a second, coming off his first game of the season. But we got to get to our King of the Grill contest, and our contestant this morning, lucky caller number 20, is Phil. How are you doing this morning, Phil?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent, thanks. What do you got planned for the weekend?
Oh, not too much. Actually, lots. Building a house, so very busy.
Building a house? Wow, like right from the foundation all the way up?
Well, we're up to the electrical now.
So. Okay, all right. And are you one of these guys that watches HGTV and took your inspiration there, or is that your business?
No, I'm an electrician. So.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. You got to get her. Is that mean it's closed in for winter, Phil?
It is. Yeah, we're all closed up.
Okay,
winter.
Good.
Yeah, that's very. You watch that's those shows like Building Off the Grid. It's all about getting her closed in, and the bad weather's coming. Huh? Here comes winter. All right. Are you a year-round barbecuer, Phil? When you do have some free time?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you a covering your grill guy? Like, do you cover your barbecue, or you like to have it rust out on your back deck?
Oh no, it's got to be covered. For sure.
Got to be covered. Okay. Are you in need of a new one?
I always need a new one.
Yeah. Or maybe having a second one, huh? If you have a big party or something going on.
There you go.
Okay. Well, we got a Traeger Pro 575 pellet grill with all the accessories up for grabs. That's our grand prize in our King of the Grill contest. And, Phil, you'll qualify right now if you can answer correctly our skill testing question. Are you ready to go?
All right, let's do it.
All right. Have you heard any of our questions so far?
No, I have not.
Okay, so you have no idea how difficult this may be. The good news for you, Phil, is, because it is going to be really hard, it's a 50-50 question. Like, there's only two possible answers.
Perfect.
So, you know, I mean, chances are at least 50. Well, they are. They're 50%. You'll get it right. Here you go, Phil. Here's the question. Phil, the question is this. Where should you not barbecue? Where should you not barbecue? A, your backyard. B, your living room. Phil, where should you not barbecue? Your backyard or your living room? What is your answer?
Well, I feel like living room is probably not a good idea, so I'm going to go with living room.
You're going to go with living room? Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Final answer is living room. Phil, you're absolutely right. You've nailed it. Nicely done. Now, again, that's in conjunction with what the, you know, fire and safety people say. We're not here to judge. It is not really a good idea, though, especially if we're talking about gas and inside or anything. No, you're right. You should not barbecue in your living room. Backyard is a good spot for it. Phil, congratulations. You are into the grand prize draw that Simmer and I will have a week from Monday with Capital Barbecue. Somebody's going to win that beautiful Traeger grill on us. So congratulations and have a great weekend. Good luck with the build.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. There we go. We'll do it again on In the Box coming up after 10 o'clock this morning, and again on The Drive. Then three more times all of next week, and then that very short list will draw one name a week from Monday.
I feel like whoever wins this, we should go over to their place, have a little barbecue.
Love it.
Yeah.
First,
yes.
Barbecue,
right? Yeah.
First barbecue.
Yeah.
First barbecue should be with the TSN 1200 gang,
yeah,
there.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Three of us.
Well,
head
not
over
everybody.
There,
right? Yeah, just the three of us. Yeah. Not the whole gang. No. Just TSN.
Well, who don't you? Okay. Let's
everybody
be
else pretty much.
Who don't you want to be there from the rest of the staff?
Well,
who don't you want to hang with?
Everybody else,
everybody
other
else
than you and Simmer. Well, it just gets a little crowded.
Here's
right?
a question, though. If you were to do a power ranking of the best griller that is employed with TSN 1200, who are you going with? I mean, to me, it's an obvious.
Bunda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you like chicken wings? That's the only issue.
Yeah.
Love chicken wings.
Okay. So, anyways.
But
yeah.
I need,
on the barbecue?
With the Traeger, you need a little bit. You need to be a little bit fancier.
I want substantial.
A brisket. That's what I want.
No.
12 hours?
Yes.
No, we're not doing brisket. We're going to do a pulled pork. Okay?
We can do that.
I want
too.
Something that's up for done for a long time.
Yeah, we'll do some nice pulled pork.
And I only want to come in at the last moment when it's ready.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll hang out afterward, but I don't want to hang around all day waiting for it.
Nope.
I want to just swoop in right in.
What we're going to do is we're going to find out who it is. We're going to have King Kong. We're going to set him up in a tent, and he's going to spend the night in the yard monitoring the grill. He's going to smoke it up nice.
There'll be nothing left.
We're going to show. Yeah, we'll actually put a lock on it because it smokes.
There's multiple racks in the Traeger, too. Okay. You can have the brisket.
Uh-huh.
You can have the ribs.
Oh, yeah,
you
okay.
can have your pork shoulder simmer that
Ooh.
You can then tear apart. No issues there.
He's getting emotional.
He is. Wow.
That's what barbecue does to me.
Breaking down.
It makes me weepy.
Yeah. All right. We'll do it again, as we said, coming up after 10 this morning on In the Box. 7:46 right now. Brady Tkachuk played his first game for the Sens last night. DJ Smith said, I want to make sure that I don't overplay him in his first game. Brady Tkachuk played 19 minutes and 39 seconds, which is 2 minutes more than his average time on ice spent through the first three seasons of his career. But given the injury to Shane Pinto and then the scoreline, a close game last night, Sens fighting from behind, you kind of understand why he played as much as he did. He ended up with 3 shots on goal, 7 attempts, and 6 hits. Here was Brady's thoughts on our post-game show on his night last night.
Definitely a high pace today. It was an emotional game, so had to be on it right from the start. So thought it got better throughout the game, but definitely an adjustment tonight. But
the most noticeable part of Brady Tkachuk for me was actually back-checking. A couple of times, there was one in the first period. I don't remember who he came back on, but a nice back-check to take away an opportunity in front of the Sens net, and he did it again in the second period. And it's not to say that he hasn't back-checked before, but that's usually not the pop for me in Brady Tkachuk's game.
Yeah, and after that first back-check, some spillage, and there was quite a bit of spillage going on. But, JR, when you're not in the game and you're working as hard as he did, everyone knows there is nothing that exhausts you more. It's amazing the energy you have going to the net versus coming back. Hey, they were great plays, and I thought his overall pace for a guy, but again, for anybody, and he's not the most fluid skater, he'll be fine. Maybe Saturday a little better, maybe Monday. Who knows? You can't really measure it, but you just recognized last night that, hey, there's a guy that has a big heart. He's more than willing. I don't think they put him in a susceptible or a bad spot by playing extra minutes, but it's just going to take time and take time for the entire team to come together.
Dean Brown, I think, pointed out in the pregame show last night, I think it's a good point. Usually guys in a Tkachuk-type situation are pretty hyped up for that first game and, generally speaking, play pretty well, which I think we agree that Tkachuk had a good game.
Yeah.
And it's the second game. It's the second game that's kind of like that's where it's sort of you hit that bit of that wall.
Well, so. And the other one is all of a sudden you wake up on a Saturday morning, and for anybody but younger athletes trying to figure out how do you get going, what do you eat, how do you feel, and all of a sudden a normal day where you have a morning skate or don't, but at least you have the ability to kind of fire up the engine and the legs. Yeah, that 1 o'clock start can come quick as well, so we'll see how he reacts to that.
Yeah, exactly. Good morning, gents. This is a text at 12-1200. Was at the game last night. Pretty impressed in general. Any chance you guys can relay a message to Sens upper management? Let them know the sound system is beyond rock concert noise level. I understand they're amping the noise, but it's beyond ridiculous. I'll be sending my fee for the Robillard Hearing Center to the Sens. Happy Friday. That comes from Unsigned.
Yeah, Unsigned. I mean, nothing wrong with going with a headset. Hey, noise canceling.
Maybe go with the Steve Bartman headphones.
Yeah.
Hey, that look.
Oh,
cool.
Huh? You got to have the strong antenna game going as well.
The Steve Bartman headphones.
You got to have,
a
strong antenna game. And are you able to, and it used to be back in the day, not as much with hockey, but football back in the day, JR, everybody used to bring the radio, right? Want to listen to the play-by-play?
Yes.
I actually actually thought about that when I was scouting, to actually use the radio and listen. There's so much that you pick up if you're a scout on a home broadcast or away broadcast, for that matter. And I actually think it's fun. And I've gotten so used to watching most of the games at home, and especially with football. Man, when I go to live NFL games, half the time I'm like, what the heck just happened there? I love. And
or I think the big thing for me, if I do that, and we do by the way, if you go to the games, 107.5 FM, you can pick up our broadcast, yeah. Dean and Gord, in the building. Yeah. We don't tell people about that enough. But the one thing that I notice when you go to a live sports event is I don't notice, especially if it's not necessarily a star, when a player leaves a game with injury. That's not an apparent injury.
Yeah.
Like in a hockey game, a guy leaves the bench and you're kind of like, you know, it's a third period and you go, like, what happened with Zaitsev? I haven't seen him in a while, right? And then you get home or you listen to the post-game show or whatever, and it's like, oh, man, he was, well, that's maybe a poor example.
No, noticeable.
In a good way.
Yeah.
It works. Bad example. It can be any player.
How about Holden?
Keeping positive on a Friday,
yeah.
A stay-at-home D.
Yeah.
The other thing you notice when you're at a game, first of all, if I'm sitting across from the bench and where our studio is at, you're kind of always combing, and you can now pretty much pick out when all of a sudden you realize that there's not 13 skaters on the bench, right? You get a bit of a feel for that, JR. But I agree with you. In the National Football League,
for
like,
sure,
they could be missing the entire team other than Tom Brady, and I wouldn't have a clue.
I find that the TV broadcasters miss that a lot because, you know what, they're doing replays or they're hyping the next thing they got going on. They miss so many key people who are not playing because there's more injuries in football than any other sport.
Yeah.
You go down to the sideline every once in a while, and it's like, yeah, star player hasn't played in a half, and it's like, really? Wow, I totally missed that.
Yeah.
So anyway, point made. Anybody from upper management that's listening? Because three more texts while we were talking about that have come in with the same thing. Hammer, you're at the game now. You're up top.
Yeah, I can hear it. I think it's great. I don't want to say louder the better, but I think they've got it at a really good volume right now. Me producing on site, I turn it down to make sure that it's not over top of Dean and Gord during stoppages. But, I mean, it's a hockey game. Yeah. They're trying to get you excited. They're trying to get you pumped.
Do you ever dance on your stool? Like, do you?
Okay, Simmer, I'm not on my stool anymore. All right, I'm in the back.
Okay.
I'm taking care of business.
I didn't know that. You got rid of the stool?
I'm not.
Spencer writes, I'm going to rescue you here. I like Matt Murray's game last night. He needs to work on his high glove. Sharks kept trying it. That's from Spencer. Well, they beat them once. A goal did not count because it was offside. Game winner was more of a screen than anything, but same spot. And then somebody else hit the crossbar as well in the third period for the Sharks behind Matt Murray. That was more buzzing the ear than over the glove.
And you sure notice it, JR, as guys get a little further along. The other thing you notice, and it's improved a lot, back in the day, the European goaltender couldn't catch the puck to save his life, right? I mean, you think back to Michigan and the famous Mario Lemieux goal. It was almost like Mario's like, hey, where's your glove? Where's the rest of you? I'm actually going to shoot it top shelf. Because
that Gretzky to Lemieux?
Yeah,
that one?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, and Larry Murphy running decoy. The European goaltenders move around a lot on the smaller ice. Well, European players used to not shoot the puck as well. So a lot of guys were just great legs, right? You'd move around, you'd be fine. Hanno Toivonen, do you remember him? He was drafted by Boston in the second round.
Can't forget him.
Well, he was just named as a goalie coach for one of the NHL teams. Anyways, Hanno was a really good goaltender, played in the World Junior, I think the year that the U.S. beat Canada, and he was coming along. And then you realize when he went to Providence that he couldn't catch the puck. He didn't have a glove, like literally could not catch it. And there are some adjustments that he can make for Matt Murray as far as squaring up all the time. That disallowed goal is a great example of him dropping his left hip, but it is a concern. Like, he's not natural. This was something talked about when he was in Pittsburgh. There's times where he is not trying to. Well, there is almost never a time he's trying to catch the puck, JR.
Right.
He's actually using his glove as a blocker, and that's kind of weird, but it certainly is a weakness for
him. It just looks when he gets beat, the way he holds his hand there. And the disallowed goal was a perfect example of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to think of it, but it looks odd. It doesn't fit what I think.
Well,
and I'm not sure what it is, but I look at it and go, hey, that didn't look comfortable.
Well, it's simple to try to break it down. If you're on the left side moving right, which of course the right side is your blocker, left side is your catcher, JR, as he comes across, he's not squaring up, but he's dropping his left hip and then he's bringing his elbow into his body. And then by the time that happens, what have I done? Well, I've overslid on that disallowed goal and I've handcuffed myself. And we saw last year was terrifying. I mean, I remember I'm like, what the heck? Well, the rest of his structure. His legs and his blocker look terrific right now, but he almost has to overcompensate at times and bring the glove up because, yeah, he's not very natural. But that motion of going left to right, he's got to correct that. As I say, he's really oversliding and not quite to our good friend Hogberg.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's just, like I said, he just needs to slow down here and square up and at least allow it to hit me.
Yeah.
You know, if you beat me with a great shot, so be it.
Yeah.
Lots of NHL goaltenders struggle over the glove.
Overall, though, 22 saves, 2 goals. I thought Matt Murray for a first game last night. Listen, it's baby steps. I thought it was a good game for him last night. And I'm not going to assume. There's no reason he shouldn't play again tomorrow.
Well, I'd play him the next couple of games. Oh, absolutely. And in comparison, JR, to the start of last year, it's night and day. Like, he's not even, you wouldn't even know that's the same goaltender. So 99% of it I'll take away as a real positive compared to last year.
All right, Sens and Rangers is the next game coming up tomorrow afternoon. Note the start time, 1 o'clock from Canadian Tire Center, which means our pregame show starts in the morning. 11 a.m. You going to be ready for that, Simmer? 11 a.m. pregame show tomorrow? Strong opinions?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm an early riser. I already planned. Going to leave the house around 10:15. Probably grab a nice coffee, a little light bite to eat, and I'll strategically place it where... Is Club Bell open, guys? Do we know? Have we confirmed?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll slide in for a nice little meal, and then I'll come out and watch the ice hockey match. And
some egg rolls.
I don't know if I'll be as good as Jamie Baker yesterday, because Bakes was outstanding.
He was. Good.
I feel like I'm
going to
bring a strong game tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. All right. We'll have tickets to the next game after that, which is Monday night, to close the homestand. Capitals in town with Ovi. Tickets coming up later on this morning. 100 level seats to see the Sens and the Caps. Okay, we'll take a break. 7:56. It is time to play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. The winning continues. Hopefully the winning. You got a chance to play for $1,000. All you need to do is text us right now. Standard messaging rates apply at 12-1200. We'll take texter number 50. We need your first and last name. That's it. We got 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. 10 for 10 wins you $1,000. We'll do that next. And don't forget Dave Poulin around the corner, our TSN Hockey Insider, coming up at about 8:10 right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute.
All right, we got our contestant ready to go this morning. Good morning to Jeremy. How are you doing this morning, Jeremy?
Great. How about you guys?
Excellent. Thank you very much. You ready to win $1,000?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Okay, Jeremy, I got 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. You go 10 for 10. The 1,000 is yours. We'll give you $10 per correct answer. Here are the rules. Need all of your answers by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full answer. And if you want to, you can pass on a question. If there's time, we'll go back to it. Okay?
All right.
All right, let's do it, Jeremy. Good luck, my friend. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. True or false, Erik Karlsson has more than 500 career points?
False.
Who has won the Grey Cup more recently, the Argos or the Ticats?
Ticats.
Which of the following teams did John Elway's Broncos not beat in the Super Bowl, the Packers, the Patriots, or the Falcons?
Falcons.
In the Blue Jays' 2 World Series wins, did the series go 5 games, 6 games, or 7 games?
7 games.
What number is Tim Stützle wearing?
18.
The Sens have met the Rangers twice in the playoffs. Are they 2-0, 0-2, or 1-1?
0-2.
What NFL team did new Red Blacks quarterback Duck Hodges play regular season games for?
What, NFL teams?
Yep.
Here?
Yep.
Carolina.
When the Sens clinched their first ever playoff spot, who was in net? Yeah, it goes quick, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, here we go. All right, let's review. No $1,000 to give you. See if you won some cash, though. Jeremy, true or false? False. Erik Karlsson has more than 500 career points. That's true. He's at 630. 630 points. Who's won the Grey Cup more recently? Argos Ticats. It's the Argos, 2017. Ticats got to go back to 1999, believe it or not. Which of the following teams did John Elway's Broncos not beat in the Super Bowl? That was the Patriots. All right, they beat the Packers and the Falcons for their 2 wins. Blue Jays World Series went 6. Both of them went 6 games. What number is Stützle wearing? 18. You got that one right. Sens have met the Rangers twice in the playoffs. They're 1-1 in those 2 series. What NFL team did Red Blacks quarterback Duck Hodges play regular season game? Pittsburgh Steelers is your answer there. And I don't think we had any more answers after that. Jeremy?
Jeremy? Not a good morning.
Jeremy, you're not empty out of hand here. You've got some cash. You've got $10.
$10.
Perfect.
$10 will get you one squeeze at the gas station. That's about it.
How about get off that decaf coffee and get yourself a regular?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, $10 better than $0. All right. Thanks for playing the game, Jeremy. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you as well.
All right. Take care. All right. There we go.
Oh, we got to get him to our barbecue. He sounds like a hoot.
We'll take a break. Latest news and sports is on the way. Sens fall 2-1 to the Sharks. We'll talk about that. Habs are 0-5. Dave Poulin was at the Bell Center last night to watch Kotkaniemi get a goal, and the Habs lose again. Oh, my goodness. Dave Poulin will join us next. Our TSN Hockey Insider right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.